stations. It's like, yes, they're back. And the Christmas songs come on, and it's like, you know, they're just, it's just these beloved Christmas songs. And so I wanted to, over the next couple weeks, last week, this week, and next week, talk about some beloved Christmas songs and kind of pull out some truth from them that would help us in our journey, help us where we're at as a church and where we're at in the body of Christ. And so I hope this will bless you today. How many like last week? Was that good? Oh, Holy Night was last week. And so this week, we're going to turn. We're going to listen, and that's why the band is still here. Let me love our awesome band. Come on. We're going to hear one of our beloved Christmas songs, O Come All Ye Faithful. O Come All Ye Faithful was originally written in Latin in the early 1800s by a man named John Francis Wade. He was an 18th century hymnist. He loved the Lord. He wrote many beautiful hymns, but it was in Latin. And so it was later translated into English in 1841. And from that point, 1841, this song has become one of the most beloved Christmas songs for over 150 years. That it's been sung around the world. It's been sung in churches. It's been sung over the airwaves every year consistently. And it's such a beautiful song with such powerful lyrics. And so I thought, before we jump into the message, why don't we listen to these words ourselves? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for your faithfulness. I thank you that you are worthy of all the glory, of all the praise, and all the honor. And Lord, we truly have come to adore you. We've come to worship you, to lift up the name of Jesus higher and higher, higher than we did yesterday, higher than we did last week, last Christmas. Lord, we just want to continually lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we love you. We worship you. We thank you that you're with us today. Emmanuel, God with us. We give you glory. We give you worship. We give you praise. Lord, I pray you would bless this time, bless this message. Speak to our hearts today, wonderful Jesus. And we commit this whole time to you. And everybody in the room said, Amen. I love that song, O Come, All Ye Faithful. I love it for many reasons. There's so many powerful moments in that song and powerful lyrics that just kind of grab my heart, stir my heart. But I love, I don't know about you, I don't know if you've ever thought about the very first line. And it says, come, excuse me, come all ye faithful and joyful and triumphant. Say faithful. Faithful. Say joyful. Joyful. Say triumphant. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think we can sing that song and we can just say to ourselves, well, who the heck are we talking about here? Like, who is the faithful? Who is the joyful? Who is the triumphant? And sometimes I think for me, I think the first few times I heard that song, it kind of sounded a little bit daunting. It sounded a little bit hard to live up to because I realized it was talking about us as people. And I know for me in times of my life, and I know for a lot of people coming into the Christmas season, there's a lot of people that are not especially feeling faithful. They're not feeling joyful. And they're not feeling triumphant. A lot of times people are feeling defeated, depressed, discouraged, and doubtful. Right? These are the images that people begin to wrestle with over the holiday seasons, over Christmas season. We're like, I don't feel like I'm joyful. I don't feel very faithful right now. I don't feel triumphant right now. I feel broken, defeated, discouraged, depressed. Can I just be real? Do we ever feel these things? Do we ever feel these ways? And so the enemy likes to put this false image on us. He wants to put this false narrative and this false image on us. And we think, oh, because I don't have my stuff together, and we're going to get to scriptures, don't you worry. Because I don't have my stuff together, I cannot come. It says, come all ye. And so we say, I'm messed up right now. I got this trouble in my heart. I got these wounds in my heart. I got this offense in my heart. I got this problem going on, so I cannot come right now. But he says, come to me. Hallelujah. So this is a false image that we put on the church. It's a false image that we put on the Lord. We say, I can't come because I'm messed up. Once I get my stuff together, then I'll come. Right? Once I'm healthy emotionally, once I get over that hurt, once I forgive that person, then I'll come. You know, and we put all these things, these prerequisites on why we cannot come. Oh, come on now. I haven't been very faithful in this area. I haven't been faithful in what God's called me to do. I haven't been faithful in my job. I haven't been faithful in church. I haven't been faithful in this. And so I can't come. Once I'm faithful, then I'll come. No, no, no. Say that's backwards.
That's backwards.
Come on. Maybe it's like we're entering into the Christmas season and over the last, you know, few months, maybe your money's just been disappearing. It's just burning through your hands. What's going on? And you don't have any gifts. You know, you don't have money to buy gifts for your children or just do the things that you want to do and that you love to do. And so you're like, man, I don't feel very triumphant right now. I don't feel very joyful right now. The joy is leaving me because of my situation, because of my circumstance. You know, it's the person whose marriage has been dealing with the same issue for 20 plus years, and it's not going away, but it seems like you're going around the mountain, and you say, man, I don't feel triumphant in this. And so how could I come into the presence of God? How could I come to church? I just feel like a hypocrite. I feel like a phony. Right? We wrestle with these things, but that is the enemy's narrative.
Right.
Or we allow situations and circumstances to suck the joy out of us. may have ever allowed stuff to suck the joy out of you. You know, we just go to Kmart. It's gone. Where did my joy go? You know, it's like you get some stuff in your grocery cart and you're happy. And joy to the world. One checker? No. You know, there's a line going like into the makeup aisle, like, come on, just get one more checker, please. Then they get another checker, and then you're like deciding, which line do I go to? Do I go to this long line or do I go to this long line? I'll go to this long line. It feels good. And then for whatever reason, there's a person at the front that's like taking forever to write a check. And you're like, who writes a check? You know, please don't write a check right now. Then somebody else has coupons. And then somebody else is like, I really need you to go check on this price. I know it was $9.99, but this says it's $15.99. Can you go check it? And there's nobody else in the store to go check it. So they're like, I'll be right back. So they, and you're like, there's nobody at my check stand anymore. And you're like, my joy is gone. I'm no longer singing joy to the world, you know, and this happens to us. Our joy just gets sucked out because of situations. It could happen in a coffee shop. I'm just being funny, but, you know, I was at the coffee shop just the other day, and there was a long line, and sometimes I like to get lattes and just stuff with extra caffeine and, you know, come on, get my revival in my cup of coffee, and I like to get a little caffeine. And so I'm in there, and I'm like, oh, this place is just packed, so what I'm going to do today, I'm going to just go easy on them. Just going to get a cup of coffee. And this will be quick. It'll be painless. I'll be in and out. So I said, just a cup of coffee, please. And they say, okay. And so I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. And I'm like, and then somebody, your triple frappuccino blah, blah, blah is ready, sir. I'm like, I just wanted a coffee. You know, it's like, hey, ma'am, your blah, 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 your pumpkin this and that. And here, and all these things are getting handed to people. And I'm like, where is my cup of coffee that you just pour? There's no coffee, and I'm getting frustrated, and because I need to go, and I'm like, do you have my cup of coffee? What cup of coffee? The cup of coffee I just ordered from that lady over there. 5 minutes ago. Oh, shoot. I think somebody accidentally knocked it off into the trash can. We'll get that for you right away. They get a cup. They go over to the coffee thing, and it's empty. I'm like, <"Duh!" laughs> Can you just wait about 5 minutes? We're just going to brew another pot. I'm like, joy is leaving me. And I was so frustrated. And so many times, situations and circumstances suck the joy right out of us. But it doesn't have to. We allow situations and circumstances to dictate how we're going to feel and how we're going to respond to God and respond in our life. Oh, this is happening to me. I feel this way, so I'm not joyful. I feel this way, so I'm not triumphant. I feel this way, so I'm not faithful. But we don't go on feelings. Somebody say A to the men. We don't go on our feelings. Why? Because you look into the scriptures and there's this wonderful message that is laid out beautifully in the scriptures. First in Matthew chapter 11. And we see who Jesus begins to call in Matthew 11:28. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Another translation, it says, come to me, all who are weary and all who are burdened. And so we don't have to pretend that we have it all together to come to Christ. We don't have to wait till we're like, everything's perfect, my life is in order, now I'm going to go. Now I'm going to do this Jesus thing. Now I'm going to do this church thing. Now I'm going to be a better husband, a better wife, whatever. No, we just have to come with our junk. He says, come to me. Are you weary? Are you burdened down? Are you heavy laden? Are you tired? Are you anxious? Are you afraid? Are you just dealing with stuff right now that is overwhelming? Well, there's good news. There's a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And He doesn't leave us the same way that He found us. But we have to make that initial step of faith and come to Him. Go to Him. He says, come. He's always calling. So He calls the weary. He calls the burdened, the frustrated, the sick, the offended. He calls us all. There's not one person that will be out of that list. Then you see Matthew chapter 9. He's calling us. He's calling everybody. Matthew chapter 9. What does Jesus say? He said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so he's saying, I'm not afraid of your stuff.
That's right.
That's what Jesus is saying. I'm not afraid of your sin. I'm not afraid of your mess up. I'm not afraid of your poopy diaper. I'm being serious. Jesus is not afraid of our spiritual poopy diaper. He's saying, I can handle it. Just come to me and I will clean you up. I will take care of you. I will wash you. I will heal you. I will transform you. I will revolutionize your life.
Amen.
That's the gospel. But we're like, oh, I got sin. I got to stay away. I got weariness. I got brokenness. I better stay away. And so we stay away and we stay hurt. We stay sick. We stay offended. We stay broken. But it's in the vulnerability. It's in the coming. It's in the Jesus, I need you, Jesus. I'm not perfect. Jesus, you're the perfect one. You're the Savior of the world. I come before you and he begins to heal us. Come on. That's good news right there. So he's not looking for us to have it all together. He's not looking for us to be perfect people. Just come. Come, because he's perfect. Say, he's perfect.
Yes, he is perfect.
He's perfect. He's perfect and he's perfect theology. Amen.
Amen.
Just look to Jesus. Whether you're brand new in the Lord or you've been saved for many, 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 many years, it doesn't matter. He's still calling us.
Right.
We can have hiccups in our life if we've been saved for 30, 40, 50 years. It doesn't matter. It's not like, oh, I gave my life to Jesus 50 years ago or 20 years ago, and so I don't need to be vulnerable anymore. Yes, we need to be vulnerable and just come to him and say, God, I need you. He's the Savior of the world. Come on. That's the good news right there. Look at Jamie and say, good news. And then he doesn't leave us the same way that he found us. What does he say? I love this scripture. He says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so we take on burdens and yokes of the world and yokes from people around us that we were never meant to take on. And it's heavy and it crushes us. You know, these words that we allow to sit on us and it begins to crush us and weigh us down. But Jesus said, I never told you to yoke yourself to that. I never told you to come under the weight of that. I only want you to put on my yoke because it's easy. And you can carry it. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the yoke. Think about the yoke on the animal, the ox. You put this yoke on him. And you know, you're thinking like, what's a yoke? You talk about an egg yolk? No, I'm talking about a yoke that goes on to an animal, a wild animal, like an ox. And I've seen it in Mongolia, you know, when they would put it on the yaks. Everything is done with a yak over there. They put it on the yak, or they put it on the different animals. And then they have ox too, but... And they could put it on together, and there's two. And without the yoke that is upon them, they will go in different directions. And so it sits upon them, and the driver begins to lead them, not harshly, but gently. But they are being led. And so be led, put his yoke upon you, and be led into freedom. Be led into deliverance. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is good. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Are you alive?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Come on. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is so very light. Joy to the world. And so I believe that there are three things that begin to happen as we begin to come to Jesus. As we begin to be authentic. I really believe that the Lord wants us to be authentic again. He wants us to shake off religion and be real and be authentic with each other. Be authentic with him. Be vulnerable with him. Be vulnerable with each other. We have to be authentic because that is a sweet-smelling aroma to him and to the world.
Amen.
The world is dying for the church to really become the church and not just talk one thing and act another way. And so I believe as we begin to come into his presence and as we begin to come to him and adore him, he begins to do three things. Say three things.
Three things.
This is good. He begins to do three things that you could never do on your own. He begins to help us in three very specific ways. And he begins to help us, number one, he begins to help us become more faithful.
Yes.
Say faithful.
Faithful.
Say faithful.
Faithful.
Say faithful.
Faithful.
I think you just your ears and your heart needed to hear that. I believe that as we come closer to Christ, He helps us to become more faithful in whatever we're walking through.
Amen.
In whatever the season of life is. I love that it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that He is the author and He's also the finisher of our faith. He's the author of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. Isn't that good? But it also says, one of my favorite scriptures, Romans 10, 17, that what? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. It comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so hearing God's Word builds faith in us.
Yes.
Hearing God's Word builds not just faith, but it builds confidence in us. And in confidence, you begin to make right decisions. You begin to make right choices and you begin to move in the way that you know you're supposed to do. But sometimes I think we get paralyzed with fear because we're listening to the wrong voices. And when we begin to listen to God's voice and we begin to listen and meditate on God's Word, faith begins to get stirred up inside of us. And He wants us to be faithful in the little and He wants us to be faithful in much. He wants us to be faithful in the big seasons and faithful in the little seasons. Sometimes the little seasons are really the big seasons. We're like, this is just a little season, but really that's a big season. I'm just changing a diaper. What's the big deal? No, that's a big season right there. It's a big season and you need to do that. You need to be faithful right there. Come on. It's faithful with plenty. It's faithful with little. It's faithful when you're scared. You know, I could just tell you, I know we can all share testimonies, but I'll just share mine because I got the microphone. So there's been many situations and many times in my life where I've been scared. You know, like when our daughter, obviously, you know the story, but it's worth repeating. And I know Joe and Michelle, you could testify to this. You've been through some scary valleys. You know, when you didn't know what was going to happen to your daughter. And we've been in the same battle. There was a time, you know, when we came to CHLA and they said stage 4 cancer. That is not a word that you want to hear as a dad, as a mom. And I remember just wrestling with this thing, wrestling with fear, trying to continually, daily, nightly come on me. Every time I would put my head on the pillow, fear and seeing all these cords sticking out of her. And I just was wrestling And God, you got to help me here. And I was having to push those things away. I know you're good, but I'm struggling right now in this mess. And the Lord gave me a word in Daniel about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that we would walk through the fire, and that we would not be burned. It wouldn't even smell like smoke. And more so, not even me. I don't care if I smell like smoke. I can go through war, but I just don't want my little girl to smell like smoke. I don't want her to have anything from that part of her life. And so I felt it. And I'm like, I can rest on that, Lord. That is a promise for me to rest on and to be able to lean in because I feel scared right now. And then I got the same exact word from my mother-in-law. She had that word. She said, I feel like this is God's word for you. And so we begin to stand upon that as well as many other prophetic words and scriptures that people were giving us. But it was a word that I could hold on to that helped me to be faithful in a scary season. You know, I think of Joyce and I love you and I love your faithfulness. And I know it's a scary season, but you have been faithful. You have been faithful. And I just want to applaud your faithfulness, even when you don't know what's going on. Like you've leaned into Him and it's just been beautiful. And there is a sweet smelling aroma coming from your life. And that is just, it's just faith and it's perseverance. I see it in you. And I'm just thankful for your life. And it's the person that's never been a dad before, never been a mom. And maybe they didn't have a good example. How do I do this? I don't know what I'm doing, Lord. And I'm scared. I didn't have a good role model. I don't know what to do, but lean into His word, lean into the people around you, lean into His voice. And He teaches you how to be faithful. He teaches you how to run. He teaches you how to be faithful in your job, how to be faithful in life, how to be faithful in your walk with the Lord. We need faithfulness. Come on, somebody. Faithfulness. He'll teach you how to be faithful. And so you can come into this song and maybe you felt like trash yesterday, but you don't have to feel that way because he teaches you how to be faithful. You say, I am faithful because he's teaching me. He's teaching me to walk in faith and he's teaching me to be faithful. I'm not unfaithful, I'm faithful. Come all ye faithful. Come on. It's good. Number two, what does he teach us? He teaches us how to be joyful. Oh, come all ye joyful. Say joyful. Joyful. I think we need more joyful Christians in the body of Christ. I remember Pastor Che Young was here and he said, it seems like a lot of the body of Christ is walking around with this constipated look on their face. They're uptight and grumpy. And why is all these Christians grumpy when we're supposed to have joy and the love of Jesus, the agape love of Jesus pouring out of us, but we got this weird look on our face like we're mad, we're miserable. And that is not attractive to our unsafe friends. That's not attractive to to anything. Why? We need joy. Say we need joy.
We need
joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, as we all know in Galatians chapter 5. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And so but that means we have to cultivate that. That means you have to allow the Lord to cultivate and to tend to the soil of your heart. Amen. And that happens when we get into his presence. That happens when we begin to proactively spend time in the Word of God, spend time in prayer, spend time with a good Father, and he begins to take care of our heart, and all of a sudden, joy begins to come out. It's not something you can produce on your own. It's like the apple tree. The apple tree just gets planted in good soil. It just gets watered, and all of a sudden, bam, apples are coming out. It's not like, oh, I want an apple to come out, please, apple, 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 apple. You know? Yeah, two apples. Come on. Can I have three? You know. No, it doesn't do that. It just gets firmly planted. It lets its roots go deep down. It gets sunshine. It gets water. And boom, fruit comes out. That is the same for the Christian life. You don't have to try to produce joy. You don't have to have false joy. You don't have to fake it till you make it. You just get firmly planted in God. And you allow the sunshine to come on you. You allow the refreshing water of his Spirit to come on you. And you begin to grow. And boom, joy is popping out of your life. And you're like, wow, I was mad yesterday, but I've got some joy today. And I don't know where it's coming from. It's coming from his presence.
Yes.
Get into his presence. Because when we're in his presence, we begin to realize that the mountains are just molehills. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
We begin to realize that he's faithful, and he's good, and he's awesome. And I know for me, maybe this is you too, but every time I begin to really get into his presence, he begins to remind me of the times that he's come through for me. I begin to think about, oh gosh, you were so good. And I begin to think about that testimony. Oh Lord, that was amazing when you did this. God, that was amazing. Oh Lord. And I just begin to meditate on the testimonies instead of meditate on the fear. And meditate on the mountain and meditate on the person that's speaking bad about you. And we meditate on the goodness of God. We meditate on the testimonies of the Lord. Amen. And then all of a sudden it produces joy. I have a picture in my office and it says, choose joy. I think it's a good reminder for me, because I could choose anger. I could choose frustration, I can choose bitterness, I can choose offense, I can choose a lot of things. And we all can. We daily we have a choice. But I have to make a choice that, no, I'm going to worship him. And as I worship him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I know that it's going to produce joy in my life. Joy is a choice.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, and I know everybody's like, well, we talk about happiness and we talk about almost that it's the same as joy. But, you know, happiness is not the same as joy. Happiness is temporary. Happiness depends on what's happening. My team won, so I'm happy. My team lost, so I'm not happy. You know, this happened, so I'm happy. This didn't happen, so I'm not happy. I got a raise, so I'm happy. I didn't get a raise, so I'm not happy. And so it's like what's happening makes us happy, but joy only depends on Jesus.
Yes.
We don't. It's not about what's going on around us. It's not about our feelings. It's only about him. It's about him. And so choose him. Him. Hallelujah. I think if I could encourage any single person in this room, it would be this. If I can encourage myself, it would be this. Let us never lose the disciplines of our Christian faith. Let us never lose the Christian disciplines of prayer, of being in the Word, of worship, and because when we treat these holy things like they're just religious, we treat these holy things like it's not more important than getting a cup of coffee. This is life. This is life. If we don't get in the Word, if we don't get in prayer, if we don't get in worship, how are we going to make it?
Yeah.
How are you going to produce some healthy looking apples? Come on, we have to, and we know this, we know it. We've heard these teachings for years and years and years, but this is, it's the bread and butter of Christianity. It's it, just get in His presence. In His presence, the Bible says, is what? Fullness of joy. That's a good testimony right there. Fullness of joy, not a little bit of joy. Fullness. Come on, somebody say fullness. Oh, that's good. Luke chapter 2, got one more good scripture for you for that. Luke chapter 2 says, if you mark Luke, this is the famous Christmas story, but I love this particular scripture in Luke chapter 2, and it says in verse 10 and 11, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, he's talking to the shepherds. For behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy, which will be for a couple people. Which will be for one or two people. Which will be only for you guys that are hearing the sound of my voice. No, it'll be for, say it with me, all people. Come on, all people. Who is all? I'm all, and you're all. And so the Lord is saying, I have some great joy for you. And that was great joy for the shepherds in Bethlehem. That was great joy for all those in that time. And it was great joy after the resurrection. But it's great joy right now. Jesus has great joy for you. But you have to come to Him. Come on, that's a good word. Amen?
Amen.
So He helps us be faithful. He helps us be joyful. And He helps us to be triumphant. Say triumphant.
Triumphant.
Have you ever seen The Lion King? I love the Lion King. And there's this scene in the cartoon and in the movie where, you all know it, but there's little Simba. He's the baby Simba, right? And he makes his way out where he's not supposed to go. Typical child. He goes where he's not supposed to go. Dad says, don't go there, but he goes there. And he goes to where all these crazy hyenas are, and the hyenas want to kill him. And so they're surrounding Simba, and they're just like licking their chops. They're like, we're gonna have Simba for lunch. This is going to be great. And they begin to get closer and closer, and then all of a sudden, Simba's like, oh my gosh, what do I do? Well, I'm a lion. Maybe I roar. And he roars, and all of a sudden, everybody gets scared. But he doesn't realize that his dad is right behind him. That Mufasa, say Mufasa, Mufasa is right behind him, and it puts fear into the enemy.
Amen.
Puts fear into the enemy. And so this lion, and what does the Bible say about Jesus? He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Yes.
That He is the triumphant one. And so many times we walk around, we're feeling, I'm just feeling weak. I'm feeling beat up. I'm feeling just battered by life. But we have to remember, when all is closing in on you, when all these hyenas of life are closing in on you, tax collectors and people and gossip and this, and just remember who is standing right behind you.
Amen.
Your Father, the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Yes.
Just open your mouth. Just do something in faith and realize that His roar is going to be roaring over you, and the sound waves are going to change. Everything's going to change in an instant when Dad steps up.
That's right.
Amen.
That's good.
And so He's got your back. Jesus has your back. Say, Jesus has my back.
Has my back.
I love this scripture. It's a great Christmas scripture, but it's more than a scripture, Christmas scripture. It's a prophetic word. Isaiah chapter 9, for unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty triumphant to me. That's pretty triumphant to me. And because it's not about what we can do. It's not about what I can conjure up and the strength I can muscle up and conjure up. It's about remembering who is standing beside me. It's about remembering who's standing behind me. And it's about, as a child of God, it's about remembering who is living inside of me. Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And this is, you know, this prophetic word. This was about to come to pass. This was this beautiful image and picture of this baby that was going to come into the world, that was going to be Savior of the world, right? And so this picture and this prophetic word from Isaiah, and then all of a sudden, Luke chapter 2, it's happening. The very thing that was prophesied. That's why I just love the Old Testament. Some are like, oh, I don't need to go in the Old Testament. You do need to go in the Old Testament. I love the old because the old shows the new. It constantly points to Jesus. It gives me more faith in Christ. Like this scripture, this was pointing to Christ hundreds of years before he came into the earth. And so this is just good news. And so as he came into the earth as a baby, he was King of Kings. Yes. He was triumphant. He was the triumphant one. As he hung upon a cross, he was the King of Kings. He was the triumphant one. But this wasn't just for the Gospels, it wasn't just for Isaiah, it is for us today. Everything that the shepherds were beholding, everything that Mary was beholding, everything that everybody in that time, those that were watching him being nailed to a cross, those that watched him be raised from the dead, everything is for us today.
Yes, that's right.
And I want to tell you, I mean, listen to these strong words that the Bible tells us of who our God is. When we read the scripture in Isaiah, when we read the scriptures in Luke, we see these words such as he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the author and the perfecter of my faith and your faith. Amen. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is my salvation. Come on. He is the lifter of our head. And as the song says, and we can sing it with confidence and we can sing it with boldness. The song says, born the King of Angels.
Amen.
And we come boldly to adore him. We come to adore him. And so we have to realize this isn't just a nice little song that gets sung at Christmas time. This is truth. The triumphant one is standing with me. I don't feel very triumphant right now, but we don't base our life on our feelings. Because feelings come and feelings go. But real joy, joy from heaven, you can have today. He'll teach you to be faithful. He'll teach you to be joyful. He'll teach you to be triumphant in all stages and seasons of your life. Amen?
Yes.
Patrick, are you in the building? Can you come if you are? Somebody grab him. But this is it. He born King of Angels, and we come to adore him. For what? He is Christ the Lord. Somebody say, he is Christ the Lord. This is who stands behind us. And so the Lord is not waiting for us to be perfect. He's not waiting for us to have everything in order and everything all together. He just wants us to come. He just wants us to boldly come. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen?
Amen.
Are you encouraged?
Yes.
Come on, let's pray. Close your eyes with me. How many love my beautiful wife right here? Embarrass you. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your amazing graciousness. I thank you for your love and your compassion and your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're teaching us. You're teaching us to be faithful. You're teaching us to be joyful. You're teaching us to be triumphant. And Lord, I thank you that with you we can do all things. And so right now, whatever you have come to this room with, whatever frustrations and with whatever you've walked into the room, maybe you were resonating with that story I was talking about, just joy being sucked out. Maybe you're driving on the way to church and somebody cut you off and you felt joy just leaving your car. But we don't have to allow situations and circumstances to dictate how we're going to feel and how we're going to respond. Jesus said, "Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so if there's any person that is weary and heavy laden, then this message is for you. You can come. You don't have to wait. You can come boldly. You can come. And he says, "I will restore you. I will heal you. I will fix you. I will bless you. I will lift you up and lift up your head." He's the lifter of our head. Remember in Matthew 9, he said, "I'm calling sinners to repentance. I'm calling you. I'm calling you when you're in your worst moments. Calling you when you feel like giving up on life. I'm calling you when you feel like giving up on marriage. I'm calling you when you feel like giving up on your job. I'm calling you in your worst of worst moments. I'm calling you at your best of best moments." He's calling us. And so my encouragement this Christmas season is listen to the call. Don't wait to have everything put together nice and perfect. Just come. Just come how you are. Just come and say, "Lord, I love you. God, I worship you. God, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my life." And so I just think it's appropriate this morning as we just close today, if we could just end with a little bit of worship and just by faith, if you could come, whatever that looks like to you, maybe that looks like just standing and raising your hands. Maybe that looks like coming a little bit closer and just kneeling down at the altar. Maybe that looks like just laying down, whatever it looks like, whatever that act of faith is for you, my encouragement is to do something in faith today, to allow him and let him know, "I'm coming. I'm coming. I hear you, Lord. I'm coming."
Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me, God. Lord, have your way in me. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Lord, have your way in me. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Thank you, Lord, you are here. You're all I want. You, my Lord, you're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Thank you, Lord, you. Thank you, Lord, you are here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you are here. Heal the brokenhearted soul. Fill us up, Lord, fill us up, Lord. Fresh and anew, 'cause we need you, God. More than words could say. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see. How great, how great. Sing with me. of my all. King of kings, Lord of lords. Oh, come, let us adore.
Father, we thank you for your presence in this house. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us, for what you're doing in this body, for what you're doing in us individually, collectively. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We thank you. Good work that is happening right now in the Spirit, massaging hearts. I just see the Holy Spirit massaging toxins out of people's hearts right now. Toxic thoughts and toxic ideas that you have allowed to capture your heart. I just see the Holy Spirit gently massaging those things out of your life, out of your heart. Father, I thank you for freedom in the name of Jesus. I thank you for deliverance. I thank you for wholeness. We love you. We worship you. We adore you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. We're just going to keep worshiping just for a moment. You're free to go. Just want to bless you. But if you need prayer for anything, you're welcome to come up front. If you just want to sit and just sing for a minute, you're welcome to do that. If you want to go, you're free to go. We bless you. God bless every single person in this room. Bless every family. Seal this word. Seal everything that you did today in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen.